Right. Well, the main thing I sort of remember is sort of the Churchcroft open space as it is now, but it didn't used to be flat whatsoever. Nice hilly bit. And we used to sort of roly-poly down that bit at the bottom. It always used to flood and then it would freeze over in winter. And then the sort of second half of it was a field with cattle grazing in that bit. And the British Legion hut was on like the church car park, and then it moved to down the side. We used to, have parties and things in there. Northampton Road, there was no houses until Chance built them on the bungalows on the allotments, and then later the other estate, the other side. Up the top end, up Hyde Road, there was the houses on the main road and Hyde Close that were there. But then gradually the houses lot got added, sort of Hoe Way. And that was when I got friendly, because a lot of people came out. There was a lot of the people, the evacuate people, that had gone to Northampton and then got houses. And I was friendly at school then with, it was like Rosemary Taylor and Jill Brockington. And they came out from Northampton, and the fathers were working at PSL. So like all the Hoe Way, and then gradually, it was Abbott's Way, Abbey Road, and then they built the Wilson Estate further up with all the houses there. Manor Close wasn't there either, and Manor House was where Miss Lott, he taught music in over the road. And then... It isn't open like it was now. My sister, she went, well, we all went for piano lessons, but my brother, he didn't take to piano. He liked drums and he got into drums. My sister was very good playing. I was a bit not that keen. And it was always very frightening, because you'd go in the gate and it was all covered. The trees were all like that, and you sort of go to the door.
You're talking about the big cottage that was in the...
Just across the road, where Nicky and Norman live now. But it was very sort of dark, and you sort of went to the door. And she lived, Miss Lott lived there with her elderly sister and taught music. So then, of course, and then I think her sister used to keep hens and things in the fields before that was built. We used to go train spotting a lot, and we'd go through the factory, along the lace, through the factory, over the bridge to by the Swan, back round by the Swan, up into what we called Reed's Field, sat on the bank up there, train spotting. And that was a lovely field, like where now
walkers
were there to start with. And it got lovely cowslips. It was a lovely, really lovely field. You know, we used to take picnics and whatever. So that was really nice. And then, because we used to go through the factory, along the gravel to Ashton Road, and along to the Scratter, and then go from the Scratter that end to Stoke Road, blackberrying, picnicking, whatever, all along there. And at that stage, there was no new bit of the factory, like where the offices and those, like when you went along the gravel, that was field. So we used to sort of build dens in the hedge along there before that was there. So that was totally different. Because we used to go on the footpaths, as I say, up to Courtnall, which is a bit of Northampton dialect. You miss the Courtenall, and it's just Courtnall, because my dad lived there. So we used to go up there to visit my granddad, or walk down across the fields to Stoke. And Stoke wasn't Stoke as it is now at all. It was just go down by the canal and all the boats going through, working boats, you know. And because until my uncle lived here, we actually used to walk to Shetlanger to see them at Shetlanger. So that was quite a walk.
That was good walk.
So we used to go there. Then we used to have the annual fair in September time. My dad always said it was Road Feast, because it was when it was St Mary's, what's it? And I can recall it in various places. I mean, before they built the Wilson Estate up in Hyde Road, it was up there, and then it was sort of near Jack Martin's garage on Stratford Road, up in that bit, possibly in the wreck. But those two are the main ones I sort of remember. naturally like the shops as they were, and there used to be cattle going along Church End to like where Bly's live and going in there to be milked and all that in that, that part there.
Can you sort of list off the high street? What was
sorry?
Can you list off the high street, the shops that were in the high street?
Well, Jim's was the old Jim's, you know, that was
the
where
paper shop.
Now Jackson Grundy is, before they moved up higher. And then it used to be Mrs. Gardner's right down the bottom of the high street, you know, where the houses are along that side. And she had a little shop there, and I think it was Butler's shop. And then I think Mrs. Howard had a shop, and then it was Parrish's and whatever. And because the post office wasn't where it is now. And where, next to the post office, and then the other house, there was houses up there where Carolyn Tubble, Madden, now.
Yeah.
You know, where she was as a child.
Yeah.
And Mr. and Mrs. Gulliver, who then moved to the bungalow along what's
the lies,
they lived in. So they were sort of opposite.
Yeah.
Not the ones in the lies. So I used to go down there and look after a little girl and that when she was young. So the village is really
Tim the butchers,
there was good and Tim Turners and
hairdressers at the top there, or civils,
that was way on.
There used to be a little sweet shop at the end of Church End, was it, on directly opposite?
That was Butler's.
And there was the village pump on the corner of Church.
And not where the old Church Institute was, but up that bit.
Yeah.
That stayed there for some time, really, before they took that away.
Cinema?
Sorry?
Cinema?
No, I don't recall the cinema. No. Mm. Well, apart from when they used to have things in the British Legion and things.
Yeah.
You know, we used to have parties and things in that. My mum used to, she was WI, she was president, part of it, she did Mother's Union, go back when she was, you know, active in things. And then I got involved with the Christian Endeavour that used to be at the Baptist Church. Mm. It was mainly because they needed a pianist to play. And they'd found out my sister played. So they asked her to go to play for them, and it was on Monday nights. But Monday nights was the night that my mum and gran used to go to whist drive.
Oh, yeah.
So, because me, 7 years younger, what were they going to do with me? So, because Mary took me to Crush and Devil with her. So then, after she'd got married and left, I still went there, and I was very friendly. Because when we went to Toaster and you had to travel by bus, the year I went, I was sort of friendly with Rosemary Taylor, who lived up her way, and we sort of sat together. The following year, then there was Susan Tibble, Carolyn's younger sister, and Jill went. And then it sort of got so that Rosemary was more friendly with Susan, so they sat together, so me and Jill sat together, so then we formed a real friendship and we've been sort of friends ever since. And she used to come with me to Christian Endeavour, and then we also went to the church, which we'd always done. I'd been confirmed there, was baptised, confirmed and married, all in St Mary's. In 1964, I think it was, we were coming out of church in the morning, and it was then Canon Norman Husband's. So he just sort of caught me and Jill. So he said, I'm starting a Sunday school, he said. Do you think you could come along and help? So this was totally out of the blue.
Yeah.
No sort of previous what's it. Anyway, funnily enough, both of us, although we went to this thing at the Baptist, we went Sundays to St Mary's. But they had got quite a lively Sunday school, and Mr Lionel was very good. And when we went to this, you know, you had games and with some choruses, and it was all, you know, quite where Norman was very, you know, sort of staid. So you didn't get that with them. But anyway, so because when he said about doing it, so he thought, yes, I think that's where our calling's going to be to do that. So so that's when it started in 1964 with me and Jill. And so, of course, it was then when the Church Institute was there. So we started it then in the afternoons, about 2:30. And we did that for some years. And the children did various projects sort of to do with the diocese and, you know, helping children in, you know, poorer countries, whatever. And then Jill got married in 1969, so then moved away. So, of course, at that stage then, we've had various sort of helpers, but not sort of main leaders. And, of course, they needed someone else then. Well, at that time, that's when they got the new teachers at the school. And, of course, Janice had moved in and was stopping at Mrs. Cherry's.
Who's Janice?
Janice Andrew.
Oh.
Yeah. Because there was Janice, her husband David, who wasn't then. And all these. And Janice had started coming to church. And she'd always been used to going to church. So I said, would she come and help? So she did. So, of course, still is helping, doing things, whatever. So in 1971, then we thought Sunday school's a bit old-fashioned. We sent out a survey to all the parents and sort of said, you know, can we come up with a different name and what we might do? So we then changed it to Junior Church, and we then had it in the mornings, but we went to church for a bit, then back to the Church Institute, which was a bit of a what's it. But anyway, during that time, we took them on sort of, this is here again, no car, but we went by bus on some of them. And the diocese used to organise pilgrimages. So there was one to Brixworth, Earls Barton and Peterborough. Peterborough, they did organise a coach. So we took the children on that. And then we used to hold parties for the young children, but we took the older ones out. So several times, this is where your sons, I think, missed out. We took them to London several times and went to various places of interest. And then we went on the canal some time, whatever. And then we did actually go, I don't even remember, the Merrymaker train trips, like a day trip on a train and you go direct somewhere. And they were doing one to Colwyn Bay. This, I think, was after we were married, actually. So we organised it, and the children, that they brought money and saved up the money, and we actually took them to Colwyn Bay for the day, which was quite a, you know.
They did a bit
and
short.
I thought, now, couldn't do it now, because with all the health and safety, I couldn't swim. You know,
and you hadn't,
it wouldn't have been allowed, would it?
And you haven't got your fish jackets on.
You know. So, but we had quite a nice day, and actually some of them went out on the boating lake. And then somebody couldn't get their boat back. So in the end, Alvin had to go, get on another boat, go out. It was quite comical, but you know, we had some good times with them then. And then, in actual fact, it was when we were going to celebrate our the 10th birthday of it, that Alvin sort of came on the scene, because all the notices that I used to take out to all the people, I was walking up to Middleton's up the farm, Cousins is up there, all over the village, walking around delivering these. Well, occasionally Alvin would appear somewhere in his mini. Do you want a lift? So he'd give me a lift around the village. And then when we were going to have this party, I'd got a record player and it needed mending. Well, there again, how do I get it somewhere, whatever. So he actually did all that. So that was sort of the start of our getting together. And so in actual fact, some of the people at church, I mean, I sort of knew him, and he was on the PCC the same as I was, but I mean, I never used to see him in church because he went at 8 o'clock and I went at half past ten. So apart from meetings, we didn't sort of, you know. And in actual fact, I don't really remember Mr. and Mrs. Bake, they used to live at Manor Close. And when they'd found out we were getting married, but they hadn't connected the two of us at all. But anyway, so we ended, because we were older, and we were both born to older parents anyway. So we got engaged in the May and married in the October. So it was all quite quick.
What year was that?
And of course, Alvin had got, he was already living in the bungalow bit before this anyway. So we'd got somewhere to live anyway.
So what year was that?
Sorry?
What year was
1975. Yeah, so anyway, I carried on still running Sunday school with Janice. But then when it got to the early 80s, so I'd done it sort of nearly 20 years, because of my mum's situation, it had got all a bit too much. So then Janice, you know, took over. Later on, when we needed help with splitting some of the groups up, then we used to... Do you remember Mr. and Mrs. Burrows? They lived in Churchcroft. So they used to have them at home sometimes. We had them here. You know, it was a case of, you know, do a bit, whatever. So I wasn't sort of totally cut off from them, but not running anything. But because during this time, in between all this, Canon Husbands, just after we were one of the... last ones that he married, he then retired. So we then got a new vicar, Sidney Gould. Well, he came in, and I think he would have been quite good, but unfortunately he died, he hadn't been here long. But he'd got this idea of the choir and service group. So then it was a case, right, for the older ones. So we had this sponsored weed to raise money to buy material to... do the choir gowns, whatever. And so we did that. So that's when, like, the choir was formed. And then when... that's it. Well, after he died quite suddenly, he'd been visiting at the hospital and got in his car and passed away. So then it was going to be Canon Davidson then. So also at that stage, it was a case of we hadn't had a magazine for years since Norman Husbands.
Yeah.
And so this was the type of newsletter that Norman Husbands used to, typed it out, and that's how it was. And we hadn't had a magazine at the church then for some years. So Canon Davidson had got a sort of meeting in his front room, and everybody was sitting there, and so people came, they wanted to start a new magazine. So myself and Paula volunteered. So this is the history of the magazines at Road that we've had, because we started and we called it Outlook, and it was me and Paula. She wasn't married to David Cochran then, so it's Paula Phillips. So we started doing that, but then in 1988, of course, that's when we were thrown into being three parishes. So then we thought, what do we call it? Can't be Outlook anymore. So we called it Triad, because it was a union of three. So then it was Paula then had her children. So then it was a case of me and Pat Ball from Hartwell, and we did it then. So we carried on doing it, and we did it for 20 years. And that was about then when modern technology came into play, and because neither of us were, you know, computer literacy, as you might say, and everything was beginning to come in that sort of fashion. So then David Cochran then, he... took it over from us, and then later, of course, then the Methodists hadn't got a magazine then. They have again now, but so then it was a case of a joint one share, which stands for Serving Hartwell, Ashman Road, ecumenically. So David then was editor, and then we continued. We still proofread, and then of course it was a case when David finished, we needed someone else, so it was going to be Pat Shrub, but she was still working at the chemist, so till she got time to do it, so we just had a very just a leaflet going back to that sort of thing in between until Pat took it back on again. So so I sort of been involved with that, but not editor anymore, you know. And then of course the choir business, we had the choir. And it was a case then of when all these young people then moved away, went to university or whatever. So Canon Davison then asked for adults to join. So that was when sort of myself and Jean Costello and some
Jean
of the others.
Jean Tipler was...
Yeah, and Jean Tipler, yeah. I mean, in between time, also, thinking about it, after, like, I'd finished with Sunday school and whatever, and it was around the time when I was coming off the tablets, they also started, like, a youth group for the benefits. So Alvin was involved with that, and Marion Wilson and some of them, and that, June Tipler's. So... you know, they were the sorts of things that, they've done. So we carried on till 2015, but it got so that, unfortunately, I mean, we lost three last year of, you know, ones that had been it anyway, so it come to its end. But as we say, when you think back to Norman Husbands, if you met the vicar in the street then, you would call him Sir. Like as if he was a teacher. You know, no way would you call him by his Christian name. Now you say, "Hello, Mike." You know. So it's just how things have changed over the years. I mean, I don't know what they do in school now, whether they, you know, how they refer to the teachers, but certainly, you know, sort of how things have changed over the years.
I think it's Miss now. Everybody's a Miss.
So there was all that. And then I used to do the bed implant sales. I used to have other stuff out here for about 10 years.
So you've been really busy then.
Well, this is it. Although I don't work.
Well, this is why you've been busy.
Even now, we've got loads of things. Alvin is, you know, the recorder for the money side and doing HMRC and things. We're organising rotors, coordinating the music, proofreading, home bake sales, Fates bazaars, and I still help, like we did when it was Easter, this archway that, that's formed. So we help with that as well, not every time, but we did the Easter garden outside the church, if you saw it. So we still...
Yeah.
We haven't retired yet.
No. Well, you don't, do you? I think once you,
you know,
get to retiring, you seem to acquire a new life.
That's it. Well, so, you know. Because something happens and then, oh, we need somebody to do that. Yeah. So, you know, there's lots of various jobs. And there's people that have sort of divided the jobs and then sort of shared it out a bit. You know, I can do a bit on a computer, but nothing much. You know.
Many hands make light work.
Yeah. Yes, that's it. Anyway, I think that's more or less.
So, moving in this house, what...
Alvin was in the house a lot before we were married, and it was just this wooden lap board, kitchen and bathroom. And we did go in, and we'd only got... it was the bedroom, the living room, the kitchen, bathroom. At that stage, we were hoping that we might have a family, so we thought one bedroom's no good. So we looked round various sort of houses. We couldn't really see anything that we particularly at that time. And so Alvin had got a friend who knew someone who'd knew an architect. So he came, drew the plans for this instead of the wooden blackboard, I think, which was really cold in winter and boiling hot in summer. And it was lined with asbestos and everything.
Very healthy.
Very healthy. So in 1979, 4 years after, we decided that we'd go for it. So we sent out to various builders and we ended up with Vic Armstrong, who lives up at the top. He's now, I think, over 90, I should think. But he lives up in Swell Close. He built it for us. So because we were going to have no kitchen, no bathroom, we moved what we could into there. So then we moved back down the lattice, lived with my mum and dad for about 6 months. And Alvin used to save, I mean, we didn't know of Alvin's illnesses and what was wrong with him then. And years ago, he was here, there and everywhere. Rushing everywhere. Not when we were first married, he belonged to, you know, railway clubs, cricket, you know, and he, you know, we knew nothing of his, you know, heart business. And so he used to actually come and stack the bricks and things ready for Vic in the morning and all various things. And old Tom Gordon, if you remember him, little chap.
Oh, and Tommy. And the village. Little Tommy, yeah.
He dug our footings for us.
Because he came to the village with the railway. Digging
I mean,
he's an Irishman,
wasn't he?
He was part of digging for the Rovner Centre, I think, in Northampton. Anyway, so he dug our footings, and Alvin did what he could, and we literally moved back. I think it was in the December. Nothing was actually finished, it hadn't dried off, like the floor was still concrete, and we were sort of just got the bare necessities, but it was just so we got back. And then my dad helped with sort of painting and whatever, and so we were pleased we'd got sort of what we wanted. And then after, and of course at that stage it was also very difficult, because that's when you couldn't get mortgages and things, and we ended up having to get a mortgage for so much and a loan for something else, and that was that was why I was working and trying to watch it until it got too much. So, but anyway, we got it done. And then a few years later, we'd just got a shed. And Alvin used to keep his car at his mum's, because there was a garage around there. But so then they wanted to do the alterations to the chapel, which meant getting the garage down.
Yeah.
So then where we had a shed, we took that down, and then we got plans again to have the garage built. Yeah. So then... We got that bit on the end. So, it's quite nice. Yes, it's central to the village
for anything. Isn't it?
Yeah. No. So it's not bad in that respect. So, so we're quite sort of settled in. At least we said if we get old and decrepit and we can't get upstairs to bed, we just go back to the bedroom in the front room.
Yeah.
Instead of his railway, model railway.
Because Alvin told us that this used to be Roddy's offices.
Originally. And then it was converted, I think, about the 1930s or something.
Yeah.
Into a house, and then gradually it's changed over the years.
That's really good. It's really interesting. It's nice of you to speak to us, actually.